Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the final installment of Weekend Update for 2023. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. So it's the end of 2023. It's been quite a year on the program. To date, Cowboy State Politics has amassed over 225,000 downloads, an absolutely astonishing number. This edition of Cowboy State Politics will mark the 578th episode of the program. 578 haymakers thrown directly at the Redcoats. And to think, all of those idiots on the Wyoming left coast tried to play off this program that it was some sort of social media phenomenon and you really shouldn't pay that much attention to it. Yeah, notice how that worked out for them. And even though a whole bunch of them have been invited to come on the program and defend their ridiculous positions, very, very few of them have. For example, it's been 1,073 days since Representative Landon Brown agreed to come on this program and then didn't show up. 1,073 days that I've been waiting for him to keep his word. And even though I keep track of those sorts of things, I'm really not holding my breath. It's been 156 days since Speaker Pro Tem Drag Show Clark Stith tried to put conditions on an interview before he would make an appearance on the program. That was just his way of getting out of an interview and not appearing like a complete and total coward. Too bad it backfired on him. And the stories I broke over the year? Wow! There was the whole Cyrus Western Bill Novotny thing, where they violated numerous Wyoming election laws, and then the Attorney General didn't do anything about it. Go figure. And who could forget the University of Wyoming training drag queens? That was a big enough story on its own, but the bigger outcome of that was no outcome at all. The Wyoming media ignored it. That story, above all of the rest, should show you exactly where the Wyoming media is sitting. They are not on your side of the aisle. That is absolutely for sure. We've had some great guests on the program this year. Jennifer Say, the former Levi Strauss chief marketing officer, Chad Prather, Riley Gaines, author of the book Fauci's Fiction, Michael Schwartz, and we started the Independence Network. Quite a year indeed. Next year is shaping up to be even bigger than this one. Of course, I'll be traveling to the depths of the middle swamp for this year's legislative session, just like I did last year. Cowboy State Politics and the Independence Network will be providing on-site coverage for everything that happens down in Cheyenne this year, as dismal and as dirty as it is no doubt going to be. One exciting thing, well, I think it's exciting, that I can announce right now is that on February 15th, I'm going to debate Cowboy State Daily columnist Rod Miller down in Cheyenne. You heard that correctly, my friends. On stage, mano a mano. Lord knows if the two of us can remain civil, all of those jokers in the People's House ought to be able to do the same. Among the topics for discussion, Rod and I have agreed that one of those will be, what exactly does it mean to be conservative in the state of Wyoming? Perhaps we can put an end to this ridiculous notion that just because you attach an R to the end of your name, that doesn't make you a conservative. Anyway, that's going to be on February 15th. It's a Thursday during the first week of the legislative session. I haven't heard if we've got a solid venue yet, but when I do hear that, I'll make sure that I let you know so that you can make plans to be there. So yeah, 2023 was a bang-up year, and 2024 is shaping up to be another good one. But whatever success I and my program have enjoyed over the last year, and well, actually over the last 4 years, is all thanks to you, the loyal audience of Cowboy State Politics. It is near impossible for me to explain what a large place that all of you occupy in my heart. That all of you have decided to come along on this journey with me makes the beating in my chest thump just a little bit harder. When there's a big story that comes up, I absolutely cannot wait to sit down behind this microphone and tell you all about it. You, my friends, are a really big deal to me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for everything that you do. And of course, none of this would be possible without the generous sponsors of Cowboy State Politics. The very first sponsor of Cowboy State Politics, and still with me, is the guys at Morton Buildings. If you're looking for an outbuilding or a garage, a barn, a roping arena, or maybe some giant warehouse, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Gunrunner Auctions, your source for rare and hard-to-find firearms, as well as your daily workhorse guns that you just need to go hunting with. They've got a wide variety of ammunition and hunting accessories. So whatever you need, firearm-related, go to gunrunnerauctions.com. The Buffalo Wool Company, the socks that I wear every opportunity I get. In fact, I'm going to wear a pair of them when I go try to avoid making stew out of my elk license directly after I finish recording Weekend Update for you. Go to the website, thebuffalowoolco.com, and get you a pair of the warmest socks that you'll ever put on your feet. Or, if you need a new hat, you should go check out newtrendhats.com. They've got a wide variety of hats for both men and women. Trust me, if you need to keep your ears warm, newtrendhats.com is the place to go. The newest sponsor to the program is Young's Camper Repair and Storage. Usually, you don't think about working on your camper in the middle of winter, but you absolutely should. And the best people to talk to is Young's Camper Repair over in Worland. If you can't get your camper to them, they'll come to you. Give them a call, 307-431-8110. And last, but definitely not least, is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. If you're thinking of buying or selling a piece of property, you definitely need a real estate agent that you can trust. And the best one that I know of is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Give her a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. As you know, I usually don't mention all of the sponsors of Cowboy State Politics in one episode, but it's the end of the year, and I want to tell all of them that I am truly, truly grateful for their generous support of the program. I couldn't do all of the things that I'm able to do without you. So thank you very much, each and every one of you. All right, let's get down to business. It wouldn't be a year-end episode of Weekend Update if we didn't bash on the Redcoats a little bit. Because I'm about to go try to bag an elk or two with him, I've invited Representative Ken Pendergraft on this final episode of Cowboy State Politics for the year. So, Ken, welcome to Weekend Update.
Why, thank you, David. It's good to be back in the chair.
Well, you haven't been gone for very long.
No, it's still warm, I think.
So we're going to go try to bag a couple elk, huh?
That's the rumor. I understand that there is also a backup plan in case the elk do not cooperate and are not where they're supposed to be. And maybe we can go find some prairie dogs.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since I've slaughtered any prairie dogs. So, Ken, the reason I wanted you to sit down and finish up Weekend Update, well, finish it out for the year with me, is we've been kind of doing this about the same amount of time, and I figured it's the end of the year, so why don't we put an end cap on it?
An end cap. Different from a hubcap.
Very different from a hubcap.
Okay. I got to get my mind straight. You know, I've been sitting here thinking about, do I have everything I need to go kill an elk? And now all of a sudden, I've got to sit down here and try to outshine my good buddy.
Well, you are a politician now, so you ought to be ready to have things sprung on you.
I kind of object to that statement, but it's a commonly held belief.
So you're not a politician then?
I don't like to think of myself that way, is the negative connotations of the word. I like to think of myself as one of the people that got pissed off enough to actually stand up and say, I'm going to do everything I can do, because I don't want to look at my grandkids when they say, hey, where were you when the world went to hell?
Well, and I don't think that anybody would argue that you're the typical politician, because certainly you're not.
Well, thank you for that. I feel better now.
The legislative session is going to start at, what is it, February 12th?
February 12th through approximately March 7th is how it's scheduled at present, yeah.
So what bills do you have lined up, or are you going to run any at all?
I have a couple. One of them has to do with firearms and trying to narrow or get rid of some gun-free zones. Similar bills have been run before, but we're looking at the statutes and trying to essentially clean them up and make them a little more harmonious, and at the same time try to eliminate some of the gun-free zones.
Now, one of the bills that got killed by the Appropriations Committee last year was very similar to the one that you're talking about. Are there any differences with what was run last year versus your bill?
Well, my bill hasn't yet been written. I'm still researching, still working on the ideas, and we'll report back to you on that shortly. Another one is I'm looking at a variation of the bill that I ran last time, which, as we've mentioned before, Wildfile said was the stupidest bill brought to the session.
I think that there ought to be a trophy for that.
I would love it. This sets up a standing committee to run interference for the state of Wyoming with federal overreach, to highlight, to point out where we are being taken advantage of, where we are ceding our rights under the 10th Amendment, and to help come up with ideas on remedies for the same, to offer some pushback against just an outrageous overstepping of bounds by the federal government.
Well, I think there's any number of avenues that you could look at. I mean, it's regulations, oil and gas, you name it.
That was pretty much the problem that I was told with the first one. It was kind of universal. It just said any or all regulations, and everybody looked at it and said, yeah, we need something like that, but that's a full-time job and then some, and that's a valid point. So one of the ideas that we've been talking about is kind of narrowing the scope to maybe some Second Amendment issues, some other things down there. One of the things that came up here in Sheridan County was just federal strings tied to grants to be able to run the airport. And we've talked about that before, too. I don't expect to be able to accomplish much, but I want to set a precedent. I want to be able to bludgeon the opposition with the fact that they stood up against this and try to flip 6, 8, 10 more seats. And then I feel like we can actually get a lot of these things accomplished.
Well, and that's the biggest problem you have right now is you guys are just plain outnumbered. I mean, it's 31 to 26. Actually, it's 36 to 26.
But you remember the bad old days when there were like two or three there. And I always picture in my mind the movie?
They've got us surrounded, the poor bastards.
No, but that's a good one. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid in that last scene when they're basically completely outnumbered, and they go and do what they feel like they've got to do anyway. And thank God for people in the past that have stood up and paved the way, and Chuck Gray's among them. And I'm not going to try to mention him because I'll leave some folks out. But there were some good folks there, and many of them have contacted me and just thrilled with what's happening now that there are a couple of dozen of us, maybe 26, and man, just a few more, and all of this work for the last 10 or 12 years to make a grassroots effort to take back our legislature and have it work once again for the people are beginning to pay off.
Well, and it's a common misconception in Wyoming that, you know, we have a, you know, a conservative state. I mean, the people that live in Wyoming really are conservative.
Yes.
I would say overwhelmingly.
Yeah, the rank and file citizens are very much conservative. They're very busy with their daily lives. They don't have time or particularly inclination to try to watch everything that their legislators do. After all, that's what they hired us for. And we're also kind of a trusting sort. When somebody comes up and says, hey, I'm a conservative, I believe this, okay, I'll send you.
Now, one of the bills that I've been kind of pressuring you to write up is to allow hunters open access to landowner reimbursements. And what I'm getting at is it used to be that if a landowner was getting crop, or I don't want to say crop damage, but crop damage payments from the Wyoming Game and Fish, that you could go look up who those landowners were. It was public record. And you could say, and the deal was, if you were getting damage payments, then you would have to allow hunting on your property and be able to charge a small fee. But what it's turned into is, first of all, those records are not public anymore. Second, landowners are charging hundreds of dollars just for the privilege of driving across their land to go shoot an elk. So I'd like you to see you run a bill that, first of all, mandates that all those records are open, and second, set a ceiling on the fees that landowners can charge hunters when they're already receiving money, taxpayer money, from the state.
Well, we'll have a couple of days to talk about that. I am intrigued and I'm in agreement with you. One of the things that we have done, because none of us, the conservatives in the legislature, can become expert in all facets. And several of us have kind of declared ourselves unofficially, these are the types of bills that I'm going to work on and focus on and trying to understand the arguments. And we've got people like Sarah Penn does a lot of things with medical supplies and or medical issues. And we each kind of have our field. And Jeremy Haraldson is one of those that comes to mind, who's very up on the laws. And certainly worth talking to them about. And a lot of it also has to do with what committees they would theoretically come to. Unless, of course, they just want them killed and they send them to appropriations, as you pointed out. So I'm in agreement. I think that's a good concept. The problem is, just like with college football, for example, there's just too much money involved now.
Yeah.
And that's,
well,
that's,
I know,
the reality.
I know some landowners that, I mean, they charge thousands of dollars to go shoot a bull elk on their property. And, I mean, certainly there's a lot of money involved, but, you know, too often I think that we disregard Wyoming taxpayers and we just kind of leave them in the lurch. And, you know, the guys that are paying the bills for our outstanding game and fish, you know, that is people like you and me that buy hunting licenses and we just want to go shoot a cow elk. Now, last question, and then we got to get on the road.
Yes.
This is a budget session.
It is.
And so the majority, and per the Constitution, really the only thing you guys should be talking about is the budget session. However, there's going to be some time. I mean, it's a 20-day long period or session, and there will be some time for some other bills. So in your mind, what are the bills that we should be discussing in addition to the budget? Give me the top three.
Yeah, there are about 483 bills that I believe have been submitted. Most of them are not going to have a chance because you have to have that two-thirds threshold to be able to discuss it. And I think it's going to be a bit of a tit-for-tat game where we bring up an idea, they nix it because it's our idea, and probably some of the other way around. I think that we need to keep the pressure on Second Amendment. I think we need to keep the pressure on voter integrity. Chuck Gray has a plan. He's got a number of bills that he's got in mind that would increase our confidence as the public in what's going on. And that might actually be one of the biggest ones, because no matter how it turns out, this next election is going to be pivotal. And one side or the other is going to be screaming foul. And so the better we can do for everybody to make it clear who the winners are, the better.
Fair enough. Well, Ken, I think we better get on the road and go see if we can find some elk. Thank you very much for sitting down with me. I know I kind of sprung this on you, but you know, you are driving and you know, I kind of have a captive audience. Make sure that you subscribe and follow the program. You can do that from the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. We'll be back next Monday. It'll be January 1st, but I'll definitely do a quick morning reload to get the year started off right. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson with Ken Pendergraft.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.